This episode of the Justin Robert Young podcast is brought to you by absolutely not a goddamn soul. And I'm a big fat pumpkin in an ugly ass pumpkin patch, and I am neither one of those things. No, my friends, I am the dapper man with a beard the size of a sedan. I am the son of a paralegal. I am Oakland's number one microphone yelling, beard wearing, bird loving podcast one mic extraordinaire. For you and you and you and you too. Yes, we are all together here because it is again time for the Jury Podcast. It is Sunday night, which means I'm here for you folks. And I mean that in a big way because this episode is going to be a little bit truncated. I don't have what is so much as called show prep. Normally, I bring a few topics. I got a few things that I've collected over the week that I want to talk about. That's not the case this time. No. I've had a very busy week. I was in Austin recording the brand new Night Attack album. It's going to be Night Attack 3. And I don't think we're ready to unveil the title, but I can tell you that the title, if you were to make a hashtag, it would be capital T, capital O, lowercase t, capital T. T-O, lowercase t-t. That's the name. That's going to be the name of the album. And we'll probably talk about it on Night Attack. But anyway, so I'm down in Austin. I'm recording all that stuff. I got a chance to go see the Possum Posse. Possum Posse plays here. Let's bring them back up. But you're all right. I said, yeah, Jomo. I said, yeah, to going to go see the Possum Posse. They were playing down there in Austin last night, and I went to go see them. They were in this nice little galleria. Some rich ass. This was some fucking white people rich shit, man. It's like any of those towns that just didn't exist 5 years ago and now exist because a bunch of rich people bought houses together in the same neighborhood. White people rich. White people rich. That's what it is. It's called the Bee Caves. It's this little suburb outside of Austin. And they built this gorgeous little outdoor galleria slash apartment building facility, right? And at the center of it, they host concerts. And a local radio station streams them out. It's a fun time. So anyway, I'm there. And I walk by Jomo as they're setting up. And I'm like, hey, man. And he's like, hey, dude. And that's it. I'm there with Bonnie, actually. Brian was getting paid $1,000 to go tweet about some stuff. I probably shouldn't have said the amount that he got paid, but he got paid money. Maybe it wasn't $1,000. Maybe it was 1,000 doubloons. Who knows? I do. I didn't lie the first time. I said the truth. I just shouldn't have. Which I guess at this point it's karma. If me and Brian are spilling secrets about each other's lives outside of what is, you know, understood to be. Appropriate. Anyway, I'm there with Bonnie. Say hi to Jomo. Jomo didn't even look like he knows me because I come up after the halfway point of his set, and I'm like, hey, man, what's going on? And he's like, holy shit, I didn't recognize you in that ballin'-ass beard. And I'm like, well, listen, that's what I like to do. I like to keep it cloaked. So we're walking to go get a beer while he's between his sets, and he's like, listen, it is crazy how many people hit you up on Twitter about what the name of and band who sings the song at the beginning of the Jury Show is, which is All Right by Mine by the Possum Posse. And he's like, I just hope it's not like a nuisance that people are like, hey man, what's that song? So you don't use it anymore. And I'm like, no. I use that song because you won't sue me. So don't sue me, and I'm gonna keep playing the song. It's just that simple. I love the song. It's become the anthem of this podcast. We very much love it, and I include everybody listening in that. It's extraordinarily exciting to have. So, number one, if you're listening to this and you're wondering what that song's called, it's All Right by Mine by the Possum Posse. You should pick up their album. Let's Ride Boys on the Importance of Commas. Came out last year. It's probably the album I've listened to the most over the last 2 years. I love it a lot. It's really good. They're fantastic live. And why don't you go and hit them up right now? They're at The Possum Posse on Twitter. Say, listen, Justin's talking about you, and we love your song on the Jury Podcast. That would be great. I'm going on some favors on Jomo. I'll let you know. There's another foreshadowing. I said that I'm all about you guys this week, and I ain't lying, man. I don't know how to lie. I do know how to lie. That was a lie. But we're just going to go on emails today. Emails and chat questions. So let's go ahead and start with one here in the chat one. Gamble says, congrats on the Daily Tech News Show offer. How many podcasts before you feel that you are stretching yourself too thin? If you do not listen to the Daily Tech News Show, number one, fucking what's wrong with you? For real. Let's let that awkward silence linger. As you realize, you're not living your life to the full extent. Daily Tech News Show is the best. It is the B-E-E-S-S, the best. It's hosted by Tom Merritt. It's great. I mean, like, it really is awesome. We announced on Thursday that currently the Patreon for Daily Tech News Show is up around 12,264.15. Should that number creep up over 13,000, I will be on there as a weekly guest, or really contributor. I mean, I keep saying guest because that's normally how I'm used to being on it, but right now, Patrick Beja is a weekly co-host on the show. I would become a weekly co-host. This is a dream come true for me, mainly because I've been a great admirer of Tom Merritt's work, especially in the Daily Tech News Show sphere that he's been in before. Buzz Out Loud, Tech News Today, now the DTNS show. He is the best point guard in the business, bar none. There ain't none better. He is extraordinarily informative, and I think he does really, really well with co-hosts because it allows him to do all of the silent things really, really well. Move the topic forward, make sure that there is a good counterpoint to a point and things just don't become a total gang up playing devil's advocate without making a big hemming and hawing deal about it, even if he doesn't necessarily agree with it. There's a lot that he does extraordinarily well. And as good as this has been, Daily Tech News Show, as primarily kind of a one mic plus kind of show, to add the co-host, I think, is going to make the show better. And the fact that he has chosen me to be one of them is incredibly endearing and amazing. So if you want to go ahead and make sure that that happens, you know, we got a little ways to go. But you can help do it by going over to patreon.com/ACEDTECT and donating, a few shekels. Go ahead and toss a few bones in there. And if it gets over 13, I'm going to be on. Now, to his question, how many podcast would I be doing to make myself spread thin? There's a reason why I don't do every podcast that I think of, and I think of a lot of podcasts. The big key is not the first four, but episodes 5 through 50. You know, you get past that adrenaline of being able to connect to people, and then all of a sudden you start to get into the fatigue of like, oh shit, sometimes these weeks come up faster than you thought. You know, sometimes you got a lot to do. Like this is an example. If this were the version of the jury show that it was a couple months ago, before I started doing this weekly, and I had made a promise to myself that I would go live every Sunday, this would be a Sunday that I would say, I'm just not doing it. I'm not going to do it. I don't have time. But we've been doing this weekly. I don't want to fucking leave you guys. A lot of people, you get a little dependent on shows. And I'm not saying that I'm some big, fat, honky-tonk shot, right, who's Mr. Important Pants. And I put my important pants on one leg at a time, just like you guys. But I'm also a podcast listener, and I know if I'm expecting a podcast on a certain day and it doesn't show up on that day, it's a little annoying. You feel a little miffed, you know, not to say that you're like, oh, hey, person who's doing this for free, you need to give me a thing. But expectation is created by repetition. And if you are good at being on time every week, ready to go, then when you don't show up, it sucks. So I only want to do podcasts in which I can reasonably either just do them and have an end date in mind, or know that they can go on for a really, really, really long time, and I can get through episodes 5 through 50. With Daily Tech News Show, it's really just a lot of me reading the doc and showing up. You know, I keep up on tech no matter what. So I'm kind of already in that vein. I'm already in that mindset. And, you know, hopefully I'm good enough to kind of come up with the sort of takes and discussion topics that make it worth downloading. But working with Tom is so easy. Oh, my God, it's like a dream. So Daily Tech News Show wouldn't put it over. But at this point, the biggest thing that would hold me back from doing more shows is just that, you know, listen, I'm on another plane out of here to Washington, D.C. in about 2 hours. So I only have so much time, you know. You know, as long as I'm doing the Go Game, there is a cap on the amount of stuff I can do. That's what stretches me thin, not necessarily the amount of podcasts. Let's go to an email. This one comes in from Liam Pattinson. Says, I just finished listening to the latest episode. The Indiana Jones analogy was incredibly humorous. That was me saying that once you lose your virginity, you take the idol and then replace it with the bag of sand known as every insecurity that comes along with actually having sex. And then ultimately you just wind up getting the rolling boulder and the poison darts as Alfred Molina screams, you know, throw me the idol, I'll throw you the whip. And you have to fend for yourself. Also, the use of terrible DMs was great. I felt like all of it was a comedic puzzle, pieces to the podcast slotted together and possibly jiggled around for the audience's delight. Major props to the cryogenically frozen caveman for making a goal for himself and sticking to it. Also, for having the guts to ask the question that he did. The manner in which you handled his question was humorous, but not rude or offensive, and I really appreciate that. Well, thank you very, very much, Liam. That was a turning point episode for me last week, and we got more on this topic. I don't know where and when I became the place where we talk about whether or not it's cool to lose your virginity to a hooker, but we have more on that topic coming up. All right, let's go back to the chat. I saw something up here. Trey writes, Jury, when you go to the bathroom in a restaurant and it is small but has both a urinal and a regular toilet, do you treat it as a single occupant and lock the door or leave it open for someone to join you? When you go to a bathroom in a okay, and then he repeats it. Well, now, all right, so let's go ahead and break this down. If you are in a bathroom and it is a toilet with a booth to it and a urinal, then you totally leave the door open. right? But there are some bathrooms that have just a toilet and then a urinal and no barrier around it. I would find it incredibly off-putting if I walked in to go take a piss and there was some dude sitting there just like shitting his face off. That would be very weird for me. Although maybe you should try it. Maybe somebody, if somebody's ever done it or has a story about it, email me, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. But it would take a tremendous amount of self-confidence, right? Because at that point also, like, what do? Make small talk with them? Hey, buddy. Yeah, you know, just trying to shit. Figure people would want to piss while I shit. So, yeah, go ahead. Come on in. I don't even know what you would say. How's the weather? How about them skins? Like, what are we talking about? While I shit and you piss and we are both within full view of each other. Granted, the person who's pissing is going to be facing the wall. But, like, I don't know. For some reason, that almost seems like it's like a European kind of behavior. Not to, of course, beyond the childhood, you are a peon. But, like it seems like something that would happen in Greece. Is that unfair? Is that unfair to think that the nation of Greece is a nation of people who would shit in open bathrooms while somebody else pissed? True or false, Greece? I'm fucking just asking questions, all right? Don't get fucking defensive, you baklava-loving motherfuckers. We go back to the emails. This one comes in from Amos. Amos Den Benson. Hey, Justin. You may know me from the Twitter handle, Not the Cookie. I had the idea to make a fake self-help book. So here we go. I wrote this bit in the bathroom at my work. Tell me what you think. P.S. You can talk about this on the jury show if you want. Thanks for your time. So we're going to go ahead and just read the first paragraph from Amos's self-help book that he wrote on the bathroom at work, which to this point we do not know whether it was divided or open. Amos might have been the guy shitting in an open bathroom. We don't know. We can't confirm it. My S.I. Newhouse School of Public Communication newspaper degree will not allow me to speculate on whether or not he did it. But maybe he did. We go to Amos's self-help book. Congratulations, you have unlocked the keys to absolutely nothing. In this book, you will discover you don't know the meaning of life. You don't know how to find happiness. You're probably insignificant. That being established, I feel like we need some music here. Let me get a... here we go. There. This is how self-helpy. You don't know the meaning of life. You don't know how to find happiness. You're probably insignificant. That being established, the point of this book is that it isn't necessarily a bad thing. Like many before me, I will break this book down into a few chapters. You will discover together who, what, where, why, and how this false sense of reality has come to be. You will learn how to win the lottery without playing it. Lie awake at night thinking of random things that don't matter. This may be a money grab for sure, but at least I'm shallow enough to admit it. Who better to learn from somebody who has nothing figured out? You're good at some things, yes, and nobody cares. You could be a monkey, or maybe not. As you can see, your path has already gotten foggy. Better off just closing your eyes. Besides, you can always read more tomorrow. So, I mean, that seems like a fairly bleak outlook on life. And that's cool. You know, so there we go. If you would like more of Amos's self-help book, go ahead and let me know. Let me know on Twitter. Let me know on email. Maybe we'll read more, and maybe Amos will send us more. But you know, I have no idea, and I guess that's the point. We go back to the chat. Sunbun says, "What's the deal with raisins? They're wrinkled ass grapes." We'll be back in a few seconds, right here on the Jury Podcast.
Went to a party. I danced all night. I drank 16 beers. Started up a fight. I've now cheated. You're out of luck.
you've got some suggestions of what to say when you are shitting in an open bathroom and somebody else comes in to take a piss. Travis says, so how was lunch? FLS Carnage, nice dick. Gatorwag, do you believe in God? And another one. Oh, this is the second part of it. Do you believe in God? Because I'm here to convince you after I wipe. And then imagine a very slow, deliberate, almost operatic ass wipe. We're going to go back to the email. And again, the email is justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. I said I was going to have more on this losing your virginity to a hooker topic. And boy, do we have it. This one comes in from Brian. I'd just like to say your latest episode about the cryogenically frozen caveman and the football narrative caused your show to shoot straight to number one of my podcast subscriptions. Keep up the badass work. Number one, motherfucker, top of the plow, goddamn humdinger, blue ribbon, gold cup, giant foam finger, number one. But here we go. This is the big one. Anonymous. I almost said Anonymous's name. That would have been bad. Violated every tendon, every part of being anonymous. He writes, I wanted to share my experience as a guy who did seek help losing his virginity. I was 21 and in the process of finding my first job, and I've been overweight for most of my adult life. While in university, I dropped a considerable amount. So this is a similar situation. I never had a girlfriend that felt I could lose my virginity, then I would have... All right, I think we have some period problems here. I'd never had a girlfriend and felt that if I could lose my virginity, then I would have the confidence that would help me get a real relationship. I felt that all my peers had quote-unquote figured out sex and relationships years before I, and I was catching up. My worst nightmare was dating someone the same age and being totally embarrassed when I didn't know what I was doing and having the whole virginity conversation with somebody far more experienced. To me, you were supposed to have these embarrassing moments when you were young, and it doesn't matter. Suddenly, I was an adult and expected to act like one, when I knew 16-year-olds who had far more knowledge and experience. Also, I felt like if I ever wanted to become good at the sex, I needed to practice. If I was trying to have a long-lasting relationship, I didn't want the first year of it to be filled with awkward learning experiences that my partner had already been through. Anyway, I did it. I lost my virginity, and it kind of worked. I felt more confident, and in fact, I even asked for girls' numbers not long after I went on my first date. As time went on, the confidence started to drop and loneliness set in, and I ended up paying again several times with different degrees of success and enjoyment. What I wanted was a personal experience, and I was lucky. My first time was with a very lovely lady who was very affectionate and convincingly seemed to want to be there. I have had experiences with women who clearly didn't want to be there, and it just felt totally wrong and not the enjoyable beyond the actual release. Also, photographs can be photoshopped or taken years earlier, so it's always a gamble. You don't want your first time to be with somebody who is not that attractive and clearly can't wait to see you leave. So there's much more to this, and we can get into it. And I might go back to this next episode when I have just a little bit more time to deal with things. First, let's get the little bits out of here. Unreliable is how you would describe the notorious reputation of websites that solicit hookers. They are not something that you can rely upon when it comes to the pictures. That's just something that even I know, and I have never bought a hooker over a website. So caveat emptor is what I would say to you, prospective hooker buyer. But this reinforces a lot of the stuff that we went over last week, right? It's not about the virginity, and it's not about the sex. It's about the self-confidence. And unless you're working on that, unless that is you wanting to get a hooker to lose your virginity, or even losing your virginity at all, unless that's part of your own self-confidence journey, and you know it's that, and you can look at yourself in the mirror and say, I feel better about myself today than I did yesterday, and I hope I feel better about myself tomorrow. Even if I have a setback, I know I can get back here. Then I don't quite know what jizzing is going to do. Or jizzing inside of somebody. Or jizzing on somebody. Or jizzing around somebody. Or jizzing in general. Like with somebody either in the room or not in the room. Maybe you're in an open bathroom, and while somebody else is shitting, you decide to jizz in the urinal. I don't know if that's legal. Probably not. I mean, it's in a bathroom, and somebody did decide to leave the door open. So maybe, no, that's wrong. I'm going to go ahead and say that's wrong. And this is not wrong, you know, but it illustrates what I would expect, you know, or at least the advice I would give. But who the fuck am I? You know, I look like a shoe bomber. We can go back here to the chat. Got any more crazy stories, Jury? We recorded a bunch of crazy stories on Night Attack 3, hashtag T-O, smallercase T, uppercase T. Trying to think of, I think my favorite tracks. We did a feature film pitch for Bang Bus, the movie. That was one of my favorite things. Brian revealed a very curious type of pornography that he has run up across. It's not all about porn, but a lot of it's about porn. But really, what I want to know from you guys, though, is what your favorite Night Attack tracks from the Belmont tapes and the Captain Morgan sessions are, because we got to decide which of those are going to go on the album. Dem90 says, where can I join the conversation? Well, you can join the conversation on Twitter. Hashtag join the conversation. I don't know, just write something. Totally Not SJ says, hey bro, do you even lift? Not really. I don't. And I'm glad you're totally not here. Tensor Guy says, Jury, is the universe a simulation game played by a moron and programmed by a sadist? Looking for a city. No, I don't think so. I mean, maybe a simulation game, but I don't know. I like to think that if you are going to go down the path of higher thought, right, and you are going to put yourself in the basket of there is something beyond me that is controlling the universe around me, then you almost get to a similar point of view that my view is that the world is so random it is incomprehensible, right? And we do our best to look and discover our little 5% of the universe, and we are made better by it the more we understand of it. But it is a slow fucking download. This is a Grokster download of Fight Club in 1999 on your 28.8 baud modem, right? This is a slow road to hoe. We're only getting five. It's like in the entire history of human comprehension, we went from 0% to like 3.2%, in my opinion. And we think it's great because, fuck, man, the world just keeps opening up to us. But it's so random that it is basically just going to be white noise to us. The longer we live, the more we know. And if you're looking at it as there is a god or a simulator that is running stuff, then you kind of got to figure that it's like that too. It's just there at the head of whatever this, you know, whatever we call this thing that is life. But it's so random, but you can't tell. So stop fucking stressing out about it. Figure out what you can and keep on moving. Because life's rad. And there's a lot of smiles in life. There's a lot of good times in life. So go ahead and check it out. Because I think it's great. Bearded Logic says, oh, where have you bought a hooker then, Jury? I haven't bought a hooker in my life. That is something that I have not done. I would say that in general, I've read blogs and read articles written from hookers' perspectives. And Vegas hookers, I know, you know, kind of hang around, like, you know, casinos and stuff like that. You can probably pay somebody to show you where a hooker is, you know. And if that's the case, then at least you can put eyes on them, you know? Or you can go down to the, you know, in Nevada, you know, you drive out, you go to the Bunny Ranch, and you can see people who are legally able to hook it up. Hook them up, hook them down, hook them horns. Yeah, maybe there's a fucking fuck the hooker app's down. Or fuck, I just downloaded the hooker app. Oh, I'm sorry. Totally Not SJ said, bro, do you even lift was the example, was what you say to, what do you say to a guy who's sharing a shit with you? All right, let's go back to the emails. Oh, wait, no, I think that was the end of the emails. Dunhudso20 says, hey, Jerry, predict the next Jameis Winston headline. We talked about Jameis Winston on the show a while ago. He is the starting quarterback for the Florida State Seminoles. They are the number one team in the country. They beat but did not cover the spread against the mighty Orange Men of Syracuse this Saturday. However, he has been dogged by sexual assault claims. If I'm going to guess what the next Jameis Winston headline is, and I had to be right, I had to be right, I would say that it's probably student affairs case dismissed. I think that's probably what's going to happen. He's going to have a student affairs case dismissed, and that's pretty much going to be the end of it. However, and I think this is 1A, because Florida State knows that he is not going, or that he's not going to stay past this year. He's going to be in the NFL. So maybe he's found guilty and he has his punishment deferred. And so he will serve his punishment in the spring semester of his academic term at Florida State University. And that way, he's able to continue to be the quarterback of the Seminoles. Or maybe he gets suspended. That'd be the biggest headline. The biggest headline is that the number one team in the country and the best quarterback in college football can't play. Because at the end of the day, if you're FSU and you want to make a big splash to say, we do not tolerate sexual assault, well, you already kind of fucked it up because you let the guy play and win a national championship for you. But you already won one, and now it's a playoff. It's going to be a lot harder. You're going to have to win two really hard games as opposed to one really hard game. The odds of you repeating are much lower. So what if you just went deep in to the deep into the season, and then you pulled him out? You make a big stand. That's your big flag in the ground that says, we do not tolerate this. You shall not pass sexual assault. And yet you still got your national championship out of somebody that you are now accusing of sexual assault. So that's what I would guess. Those are the three options. The most likely is that it's just dismissed. Del Shiro says, hey, Jerry, I want to share a recent article from the New York Inquirer about the history of Jesus' penis worship. How did you know? Well, I didn't. You just told me. Go ahead and email me, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Gamble says, I am digging James Thurgood. Where did that character come from? I just really want to hear some V's. James Thurgood, if you are unaware, is a character I've been doing on Night Attack. He rolls up his sleeves like I'm doing right now. And he puts his hat backwards. And he has a Bible like I'm holding right now. Or this is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And he says, hey, bros. My name is James Thurgood. I'm a youth minister and an all-around cool dude, but I'm not as cool as the coolest dude in the world. Number one, Young Jeezy. That's Diamond Jesus Christ right up there. That's who I'm pointing at, because it's only through him. Let me toss a few V's at you, dog. All right. James Thurgood's going to crack this bad bitch open and read a few V's. How about this one? John 4:44. And lo, Jesus rolled up on some homies and said, "What's going on?" And these motherfuckers were all like, "Hey, Jesus, we don't believe in you." And then Jesus said, "Oh, Lord, please bless these basic bitches." Some V's, dog. Verses. That's what James Thurgood is bringing to the table. James Thurgood's bringing V to the picnic. Verses from that man. Up top. So you don't go down below. Diamond Jesus Christ. So that's James Thurgood. Where'd it come from? I went to Vacation Bible School, and I've always found youth pastors to be a very funny idea. I'm very much enamored with the idea that people just think, like, painting for kids on something just makes it appeal to kids. And I love youth ministers and anything that is kind of, like, just sort of retrofitted for a youth audience are always very funny to me because it is a reflection of what adults think of kids. And oftentimes I find that to be hilariously wrong. And that's why I find James Thurgood very funny. Because, like, ultimately he's a shitty pastor. But he's doing it because his heart's in the right place. He wants kids to believe in God. He's a youth minister. But he's taking a few liberties with the Bible, which is kind of a bad move. You're not supposed to do that. All right. Oh, wow. Del Shira says, "I used to be a youth minister for Young Life. So real, although it is mandatory to have an acoustic guitar." That is true. I don't know how to play acoustic guitar. That'd be the only thing that takes James Thurgood to the next level. If anybody has youth minister stories that they would like to send me, that's what I need at justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. That was a half-sleeved effort because this shirt's kind of tight on me, so I couldn't roll it up. All right. Andrew Mays is a real youth pastor. Oh, my God. Everybody needs to be emailing me their real youth pastor stories. Okay, so here's the last thing I want to talk about. Cranium says, "I know you're busy, but any chance of a sequel to Go Home Santa, You're Drunk?" Go Home Santa, You're Drunk is still on sale. I'm going to do a new edition. I'm going to write 3 new stories. So that will be out. That'll be out on Black Friday, same as it was. I want to know which of the stories you would like. If you read Go Home Santa, You're Drunk, email me which stories you want sequels to. Because I could write another thing in that vein. I can write another story with those characters. I'll probably wind up having all 3 of them probably be extensions of stories that are already in there, unless I have some more Christmassy kind of ideas. The one book I do definitely want to write is my travel book, and that is my priority of the big original stuff. So I'm going to be doing a 2014 version of Go Home Santa, You're Drunk, and hopefully, fuck, Jesus, I will have the travel book available by Black Friday as well. All right. And a Sunbun says, "Jerry, plans for any new self-loathers guides?" Yeah, man. I don't know. I'm in D.C. for like a week. And the last time that I did self-loathers guides on the road, it came out pretty funny. So maybe some hotel hacks or some on-the-road self-loathers guides would be really, really cool. But speaking of D.C., I got to get out there. And that means I got to wrap this up. But I thank everybody for coming out here tonight. I want everybody to make sure that they write a fake self-help book. I want everybody to contemplate whether or not it's appropriate to shit in an open bathroom with a urinal in it. But most importantly, after you go to patreon.com/acedtech and donate to make sure I'm part of the Daily Tech News Show, please don't die! Do you like- Oh, real quick. Okay, bonus show. Bonus show. I had a jury listener in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, come out and meet me. Two of them, actually. Oh, my God. Some fucking amazing stories from both of them. But he is listening. Hopefully he's listening to this while he's mixing up some cupcakes late at night. The cupcakes were fucking awesome. Everybody loved them. They were the hit of the Brushwood household. Thank you so much. Everybody, if you are in the Iowa area or the Cedar Rapids area, go to that one cupcake place. It is in the farmer's market in Cedar Rapids. They have two locations, and the fucking cupcakes are boss. Also, fun TSA fact, you can bring cakes and cupcakes through security. Huh. I mean, it seems like a great place to hide a bomb, but fuck it. You know, they're into it.